Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and PT pearls to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. Calling all my hikers. So Vivo Barefoot has created an advanced hiking boot. This is their most advanced hiking boot they've ever created. And I've had a few of them, to be honest. Some of them work for my feet, some of them don't. And so I'm really so excited to finally have one that has like the material that you're going to need in order to be able to do any hike, essentially. I mean, this is like real wild hide leather, so they're not just pulling from anything, and it doesn't necessarily have that waterproof lining because they want to keep it breathable and more natural. So instead, they have a natural wax treatment that helps waterproof the leather and really care for it. And the sole is actually made in collaboration with Michelin, so it's incredibly grippy. So talk about a shoe that's ideal for hiking and feeling your feet and not having, you know, rocks being able to be uncomfortable or anything like this. This is going to actually be grippy, be supportive, and you're going to still be able to free your feet and not have them be so stuffed in these really stiff boots. So if you're a hiker, I really recommend going to the link right now in our show notes, heading to vivobarefoot.com. Don't forget that you have 100 days to really try out these shoes. So if this size doesn't work for you, 100 days, take them back, try a different size. I promise your feet are going to thank you. We've had a code change, so make sure you use code TOB so that you get 15% off. That is TOB, like the Optimal Body Podcast. Welcoming onto the podcast, we have Simone Delarue, who is the creator of Body by Simone and has basically trained anyone you see in Hollywood. She's worked with incredible actors, supermodels. She was even a trainer on E! Network's Revenge Body by Khloe Kardashian. But beyond all of this body, Simone's actually going to dive into this idea behind fitness, behind what the physical is. And we're going to go a lot deeper. We're going to go into mental health. We're going to go into motivation and the transition of a body, especially a woman's body, after you've had a baby or maybe you've experienced pregnancy. So I think that this one is going to be so incredibly supportive. Simone opens up a lot about her own journey, her own struggles, and I know that so many are going to be able to relate. She had a very successful dance career performing on Broadway, London's East End, her native Australia, and then she made a natural transition into the fitness industry, becoming a certified personal trainer and a pre- and postnatal specialist, as well as a certified life coach. Again, she's worked with people who are in the Oscars, Grammy winners, supermodels. She has worked with everyone. And creating this Body by Simone, which is Hollywood's fitness empire, she really has been around the globe for the past 10 years in this fitness industry, and she's worked through it, seeing where people really get to respect their bodies and how you can find your own journey in this crazy fitness space. So let's dive in. Thanks for being here, Simone. I mean, your journey through what you've created and what you've done is absolutely astonishing. I mean, I was just going back today and reminding myself of everywhere you've been and who you've helped and what you've done in this world of health and fitness has been absolutely incredible. So just thank you for taking the time also to talk with us.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, we're definitely excited to dive in, Simone. But one thing that we really like to start with our guests is what kind of drives them to do what they're doing and what brings them that passion to keep putting out the information they're putting out. So where's that drive come from for you?
That's a really interesting question. I think when I started out as a professional dancer, it was very much ego-driven. I was performing on stage. I loved to, you know, perform to the audience. And it was like that instant gratification that you would get from, you know, from being on stage. But then as I got older and obviously I moved into fitness, I really had, you know, an aha moment of, you know, it's not ego driven anymore. It's service driven and how I can really help people. And so for me now, greater than any moment of, you know, being on stage is actually helping others be the best versions of themselves, helping them transform, helping them feel strong and powerful in their own bodies.
Yeah, I think that's yes, ego, but also, you know, being able to perform, being in your body. And that's such a personal connection with your own body beyond what it's doing for other people to see. So I think you embodying that connection can help to teach other people how to do that within theirs as well, which is what I see from what you portray as well. And I think it's such a important thing. How long have you been in the fitness world and kind of transforming from performing to teaching?
It'll be 10 years this year. Wow. I started Body by Simone 10 years ago, and I was kind of training before that. So maybe about 12 years.
Yeah.
Wow. And you started, you mentioned, you know, with dance and in that dance world. And I know that you love to bring dance to people's lives and talk about the benefits of dance and what that can do for you fitness wise, but also for your mind. Can you talk into that a little bit?
Yeah, for me, dance has always been my therapy. It's been a creative outlet, form of expression. And it's actually when Jen was saying before about, you know, being in your body, when people ask, you know, when do you feel the most confident? For me, I feel the most confident and powerful and strong, you know, when I am dancing, because I really do feel that connection to my body. And I wanted to be able to bring that to as many women as possible. I think, you know, we've all had some little dabble of dance, you know, whether it was just your mum dragged you to a ballet class at some point in your life, but just not having that this stigma around it, that you had to be perfect. You know, there's no perfection in dance, but it was more about the creative outlet and the expression, and just trying to make it fun and joyous. And that's why, you know, I grew up not really loving cardio. I didn't like to run. I didn't like to cycle or swim. But for me, it was like, oh, you're dancing, but you're getting an incredible cardiovascular workout just by dancing. So I wanted to be able to share that with women as well, to know that, you know, you can get an incredible workout. You can be expressive and creative, and it's a form of therapy, but also get a great workout.
I love that. And I think that rings true for music and performance or dance of any type. I mean, one of my therapies is music, and Jen and I actually met dancing. And I always say, like, it's one of those universal languages that you don't need to say a dang word, but it takes you out of that thinking brain, and it just lets you feel. And the way that Jen communicated with me through that dance was like so powerful the first time we connected.
That's so sweet. I didn't know that. That's lovely.
With coming and bringing this to people, though, did you feel like there had to be some kind of aspect almost playing with the ego? Is that, you know, because when we see Body by Simone, you know, it is very like body focused. So how does someone take that and make it personal, make it to their own selves, looking deeper than just what's on the body?
Yeah, that's interesting. I think the idea, I think the reason I haven't missed performing is because when you teach a class, you're leading the class, you're feeding off the energy of the people in the room. And I've always tried to encourage all of my clients to feel like a superstar, you know, when you're moving. And, you know, one very important thing for women is, it, for me, the beauty and the strength is internal. It's not the exterior. So if you can own and love who you are, there's nothing sexier. There's nothing more confident. So a lot of my classes were just about loving the skin you're in, feeling powerful and strong and confident, through that movement. The other beauty about dance is there's always a mirror, you know, and so you're looking at yourself, you're watching the way you move, you're connecting with yourself in your eyes. And that's actually an extremely hard task to get women to do. You know, actually, when I train clients for the first time, I ask them to stand in front of the mirror, look at themselves, and really connect with themselves and see their soul. And 9 times out of 10, you know, that woman will put her head down or turn away, and I'll say, what's wrong? And they're like, I don't like the way I look. I don't like what I see. So a lot of my work is really about connecting to that soul, seeing who you are and loving who you are. And then, you know, then the power and the beauty comes from that. It's like once you actually learn to love yourself from the inside out, you know, you can do anything. So that's kind of like my motto is leave your ego at the door, come in and sweat, and let's learn to connect to our internal soul, and then in return, connect to your body.
That's incredibly huge. And I think that's interesting because it's probably harder right now when we don't necessarily have a studio to go into and big glass mirrors to look into. It's almost like you are just looking at a computer screen. So you kind of almost lose that connection to what you're explaining. How would you recommend people start doing this at home?
That's great because we are losing that connection to self. You know, I think just going really deep for a second, like everything now with social media and everything, we're too busy like viewing other people's lives. We're not connecting to ourselves anymore. So yeah, I think when you're doing a workout or you're doing anything that's on Zoom or you're online, I always say to clients, like get a little mirror because mainly to check your form, you know, to make sure that you're doing the exercise correctly and that you're not injuring yourself. But if we take it, you know, one step further and even deeper, like actually use that mirror to connect to yourself, you know, like really take that moment of what I always preach to my clients as well as like saying that affirmation in the morning, every morning when you wake up and looking in your eyes in the mirror and you know, loving what you're seeing and saying that those positive words to yourself. But yeah, my advice is get a mirror, and no matter how small it is, one, to connect to self, and two, to check your form and technique.
I love those tips. And I think, yeah, everyone needs to go get a full body mirror that they can set up when they're working out if they don't already have one. I know that one other thing that's been inherently super difficult for people, especially in this past year, is staying motivated and keeping that motivation at the forefront to get up and make that commitment to yourself. So do you have any tips and pointers for people who might just feel that they're losing motivation to continue to be active throughout their day?
Firstly, I would say to everybody, you're not alone, because this is a global, you know, pandemic. Everybody is feeling the same. And, you know, I say when I was back in my studio a year ago before COVID, I was, you know, training, you know, 4, 5, 6 hours a day. I was constantly working out. That was my job, you know, but now I'm at home and I find it a struggle to even work out for 10 minutes. And this is my profession, you know? So it's like, I say to people, you're not alone in this. Like we are all really struggling. So I think the first thing is just to take the pressure away. You know, we're not having to do two hour long workouts. Like just say to yourself, I'm going to commit to 10 minutes. That's all I'm going to do today is 10 minutes. And I can guarantee you make that commitment to that 10 minutes, the good endorphins kick in, you know, your mood is immediately boosted and you feel great. And you're like, oh, you know what? I might add on another 10 minutes of abs to my 10 minutes that I just did. So, you know, setting a very small, realistic goal that you can achieve is really going to set you up for success. And it takes away the guilt and, you know, to make a habit, make it as easy as possible. Like I say to people, I would rather you do 10 minutes a day for a week than only an hour once a week. Like make that that habit easy to do and set yourself up for success so that you will continue to repeat that habit consistently. And that's how you're going to see change.
That is so, so important. Always starting with that small goal in mind, right? Before we jump to like, I'm going to do an hour 4 times a week.
Who wants to do that anymore? You know, it's really interesting. I think it'd be fascinating to see what happens when we eventually the world reopens and we go back to fitness. Like, will people want to do hour-long classes anymore? Mm. You know, maybe not. Maybe people are just going to want to do 20 minutes or half an hour, or maybe people are just going to continue to want to work out at home. I'm really interested to see, you know, where we go from here. But yeah, I think everybody's struggling to be motivated. It's not just, you know, you're not alone in that thought.
Yeah. And when we talk about finding something to do, I think what is amazing about what you do, you make it fun. Like dance party, who doesn't want to do that? Because the pressure a lot of time is you know, to do these heavy weights or to do a specific type of cardio or to do, you know, it, there's a lot of strict, I would say, guides out there. And where do you kind of recommend people going into, especially for what you do? Because I think you bring this element of acceptance and fun and welcoming, where it doesn't have to look a certain way, but it can be like, let's just move your body and let's have fun and let's obviously sweat and work out at the same time, but it doesn't have to feel like that structured workout.
Yeah. You know, organically, I have shifted in the past year and, you know, I've moved more into the life coach realm. And really, my main focus is to take care of people's mental health. And by doing that, you know, my number one tip is to move your body. That is immediately going to help shift your mood. And so for me, the focus is not about how does my bicep look? How does my six pack look? You know, what will happen if I lift, you know, 50 kilos? It's like, no, let's focus on how does it make you feel? To me, what's more important now is the feeling and looking at exercise as, look, if it's going to be my stress reliever for the day, then that's why I'm going to do it. If it's going to be my therapy and I'm going to cry cathartically after, then let's do it. You know, if I'm anxious and stressed, then I'm going to work out for 10 minutes and do that cardio. It's going to release that. You know, if I'm feeling massive depression and I can't even get out of bed, I'm going to put my workout clothes on and commit to that 10 minutes. So I think for me now, my mission is to really get people to focus on how movement makes you feel rather than how movement makes you look.
Mm. Mm, I think that's so, so important. And like you said, all of the benefits physiologically and mindset that come from those little bite-sized chunks. I just love this whole thread you're talking about, because ever since I started getting into PT and realizing people would go hammer away at their bodies for an hour in the gym and then sit for the rest of the day, it just never really made sense to me. It's, you know, what is that message we're consistently typing into the system? And I was noticing that a lot for myself. And the change I made, which is going to be a lot different than a lot of people listening, was just to get down and do a set of push-ups and squats whenever I think about it throughout the day. And man, that, you know, cascaded into me doing so much more movement in general outside of that. And I feel great since I've started to consistently do that. So I love that message. The one question I have is, you mentioned you've recently in the past couple of years started to make a shift where you were mostly in that fitness realm, but more so focusing on lifestyle coaching and mental health. Can you speak a little bit like what caused that shift in your focus?
Over the past, you know, 10 years of working one-on-one with clients, you know, I was lucky enough to work on a TV show called Revenge Body. And, you know, I was working with clients that needed to lose 30, 40, 50, 60 pounds. And they had not been given any of the tools ever in their life. And they didn't even know where to start. And so the fascinating thing for me over the past 10 years, and especially on this show, is the thing that I learned is that it's never about the activity. It's never about not wanting to exercise or, you know, there was always a much deeper rooted trauma or emotional issue that we needed to get to before we could even do the work on the exterior. And so for me, it was like over these, you know, years, it's like anyone can give you a program, you know, any trainer in LA, in anywhere in the world can give you a program. But unless you're willing to do the work, you're not going to change and you're not going to see the shift. And so a lot of the reason people fail in their fitness journeys is because they don't do the inner work first. So for me, it was like, aha, it was a real aha moment of like, okay, great. Yeah, well, I'm offering this service. If I can give you what a meal plan and a recipe and I can give you a program to do at the gym or come and do all of my classes. But unless you're really doing, you know, the self-love work or you're really helping working on your mental health, whatever those blocks are, unless you identify those blocks, you're not going to have any success. You know, especially in the past year, my mental health has suffered, you know, in throughout COVID. And so I was like, wow, and I'm a positive, motivated person. Like, how is everyone else, you know, managing here? So for me, it was, you know, going back to asking at the start of this conversation is the act of service of trying to help people with their mental health, but two, really having an aha moment of you can't do the exterior work until you've done the inner work.
That's everything. And, you know, I think people are learning that more and more, but it's still a difficult thing of, okay, but where do I start then? And I do have these physical goals. So how do I work through this, and how long is it going to take? You know, it starts to feel overwhelming sometimes when you know that there's so much to be done in order to start to get to where I want to be. So where do you suggest people start along this journey? Like, how can they in this moment, you know, take a few moments and just start to plan out what they're going to do in order to start this inner work?
Yeah, I think setting up little daily rituals or daily, you know, tasks that you do will consistently set you up for a great day. You know, how you start your day is basically how, you know, how your day is going to run. You've got to run the day. Don't let the day run you. So making small little habits that you stick to and make a routine of it is a wonderful way to start. And that can literally be, you know, you wake up in the morning and rather than checking your phone, you're going to sit there and meditate and practice gratitude. That could be if you're struggling to get motivated to work out, you're going to lay your workout clothes the night before so that as soon as you come out of bed, you trip over them and you're going to have to be forced to put them on. You know, that could be as simple as, you know, I'm just going to commit to my 10-minute workout. So I'm going to put an on-demand workout on for 10 minutes. I'm just going to do that and then see what happens. You know, that can be committing to, oh, well, I'm struggling with eating well, so I'm going to on Sunday do meal prep and I'm going to spend 1 hour cooking a whole lot of meals that I'm going to put in the freezer so that whenever I decide to make bad decisions, I can just go there and, you know, make it easier, make it as easy as possible for yourself. That's why, you know, it's going to be much easier to be successful. Don't make anything too challenging. So, yeah, thinking about small little tasks that you can do and achievable, something as simple as, I mean, I know I've spoken to a lot of clients, people are even struggling getting out of bed. You know, they're like, I don't have a job to go to because of COVID. You know, why would I even get out of my pajamas? You know, so I mean, saying to clients, get up out of bed, put, you know, workout clothes on or put real clothes on, put some makeup on, you know, practice some self-care and make yourself feel worthy. Small little changes like this daily are going to work towards making big changes.
That's huge. And so I know talking about changes, our bodies change a lot throughout life. And I know that specifically you love to work with mamas, both expecting and after they've had their baby. And what can you just talk about the changes that happen in our bodies and how we can approach that from a fitness and movement standpoint?
Yeah. Once again, you know, being a woman, I just think, wow, I'm just in awe of women and women's bodies. And, you know, I'm 46 now and my son is just about to turn 2. So I think I was 43 when I fell pregnant. And, you know, just seeing the changes in my body throughout, you know, the pregnancy and then also trying to get back to exercising after giving birth and after having a C-section. You know, there wasn't a lot of information out there. It was almost like, here's the book that you read, you know, all the things that you need to do when you're pregnant. And then at the hospital, they give you the baby and they're like, off you go home now. And then you just take care of yourself, you know? And it's like, it's one of those topics I think a lot of people are too afraid to talk about because they're worried that they're going to say the wrong thing or someone's going to, you know, jump down their throat. But I really think that there, especially on postnatal, needs to be a lot more information out there for women, how to come back to working out safely, you know, what exercises can I do and can't I do? How do I find the energy? What happens when I breastfeed? You know, how many calories should I be eating? What happens, you know, pancake butt? There's so many different things that, you know, I've learned throughout my experience of you know, having a baby. And I'm very passionate about it. because each woman's body is different, mm-hmm. and each woman's pregnancy journey will be different. You know, from the, even if parents, you talk to mums who've got 3 and 4 kids, every single pregnancy journey has been different. So yeah, it's been a goal of mine also is to try and put out some safe information for women pre and postnatal, what they can do exercise wise and what they can do to come back to exercise. But I think the overall fundamental message is that one, you have to be kind to yourself. Your body is going through this incredible change, and two, go at your own pace. You know, women are very intelligent. You know, you listen to your body, and if it doesn't feel right, don't do it. But make sure that you're arming yourself with enough correct knowledge of what to do when you're coming back into exercise, especially.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that's like the common theme that we continue to hear all the time is that I didn't know what to do and my doctor didn't, you know, guide me to anyone. And all of a sudden I have this newborn at home that I'm also taking care of and I'm supposed to take care of my body and just heal. You know, there's such a lack of information there and such a gap of knowledge. What did you find to be helpful post, you know, right after you had your baby? I mean, obviously you're lucky to have the education behind you in order to do it, but did you seek out other help as well through your journey?
Yeah. You know, one thing that I just want to say too is that I found one of the frustrating things about social media is that, you know, a lot of people in the public eye will have a baby and then, you know, 6 weeks later or 8 weeks later show themselves in, you know, a crop top, yeah. And be like, oh, I bounce back after baby. And this word, like bounce back after baby or get your body back, it frustrates me so much because it's putting out that message that, oh, you, like the body that you have now is not good enough or that you're getting back your old body. Like your body just gave birth and your body is what it is now. And so I think we have to be, you know, as women, really careful around the messaging of that. And I, you know, for me, it was very important to show my journey afterwards of like, show what your belly actually looks like, show the stretch marks, show this, you know, the C-section wound and show that, you know, even walking is difficult after 2 weeks, you know, and normalize that because I think, you know, we are fed a lot of like, oh, look at her, she bounced back after 12 weeks, you know, and that's not reality. And that's really bad messaging for women. And then you're going to put so much pressure on yourself. So I really tried to not personally not do that on my platform, but also I didn't want to take advice from people that were pushing that message. And, you know, one thing I could say to any mums out there, just be kind to yourself. It took 9 months to put the weight on. It's going to take that at least, you know, to get it off and think about coming back in a safe and healthy way. You know, it is most important and don't get caught up in this wrong language or message that we're sending to women about getting your body back. It's like, it's still your body. Mm-hmm. It was the body that you had before you got pregnant. It's the body afterwards, you know, it's the warrior body now.
Absolutely. And that's one thing that I really struggle with social media personally. And I can't imagine, you know, coming back and seeing all that. It's kind of like the reading a book by its cover. Like some people show is the cover. And like you just said, they're not showing all of those steps and pages in between. They choose to try and hide that stuff up so that they can maybe sell a program to, like you said, help get your body back. And I think one of the most challenging things is to filter that out. Like, do you have any recommendations for people on how they can try and focus on the content online that is speaking more of a message, like you're saying, that this is your body, it's a process, it's a journey that we are on and that you're on with your body? How can we kind of selectively filter so that these powerful social media algorithms don't continue to try and show us that manipulative message?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess all you could do is just unfollow the people that don't make you feel good, you know, and try and search for the ones that are, you know, sending body positive messages. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, on a bigger scale, we need to be attacking and, well, not attacking, but we need to be giving the media lessons in, you know, what messages they should be putting out there, you know, in women's health magazines and, you know, really trying to say, to focus on body love and body positivity rather than, you know, there's always the lose 5 pounds in 5 days. It's like, who does that? No, you know, it's like, that is not possible. So it's really about, I think we need to really try and look at getting to the media and getting them to change the dialogue.
That's huge. It's so important. And I really, like you said, I've always admired my friends who've shown the real journey of it all. Like, even in diapers, like, this is what it looks like right after. And this is what you're wearing. This is the reality. And speaking into that message, I think, is so important because it paints the picture of grace through the journey as well, rather than this guilt of I'm not working out, I'm not doing what I'm quote unquote supposed to be doing because of what it looks like from other people, right? And
I love that. I love the word grace. That is really beautiful.
Yeah, it's been my messaging lately, because even people doing a 30-day challenge, I'm trying to speak into like grace over guilt. Like, there's no guilt in missing a day. There's no guilt in doing it wrong it's grace in the journey of continued learning. And I think you have had to embody that as well, being a trainer yourself and finding what it means to honor your body through that journey. So for you, what did motivation look like for you getting back into working out and moving again for yourself?
You know, I just had such a newfound respect for women and what female bodies could do. You know, I trained so many women throughout pregnancies and be like, yeah. But it's like, until you actually live it, you're like, now I understand what's going on here. So it was really an incredible learning experience for me to go through, you know, the entire pregnancy. And I thought, if this is someone who is fit, you know, I worked out throughout my entire pregnancy. I walked to the hospital, you know, the day that we were to deliver. Wow. And it's like, and I know all the things to do and don't do. And I found it such a struggle to get back. So I had so much compassion then for women. I was like, oh my goodness, like how do you do it? You know, how do you get back? So for me, it was more, once again, coming back to the feeling, you know, it was never about, oh, I want to work out to get my flat stomach back again. It was like, I want to work out so I can have some energy so that I can, you know, be more present for my son. It was more about, you know, I want to work out for 10 minutes so that I can practice some self-love and self-care and show up for myself and show that I'm worthy and not, you know, get lost in the total focus of being a mum. So my motivation was definitely about how it made me feel and not about how it made me look. On the physical strength side, it was very humbling because I, you know, had lost so much strength. And I was like, you lose this much strength in 9 months. You know, that was also incredible to me. For someone who, you know, has started dancing at the age of 3, I've always done some form of activity. So once again, I had a newfound respect for women and just thought, gosh, it's so hard to come back, and you really will lose a lot of confidence and think, am I ever going to get strong again? Am I ever going to be able to work out again to the degree that I did? You know, and 2 years on, I look at my body now, my body definitely has changed. My hips are broader. You know, I have loose skin on my stomach. I have a big scar across from my C-section. But I, you know, without getting too graphic, like, he Oscar basically sucked the life out of me. So my breasts are like just bits of triangle skin now. there's nothing there. And it's like, wow, you know, I'm looking at my body now as something that housed a life and kept a life, you know, alive. And so now I love my body in a totally different way, and it will never look the same as it did before I gave birth, but that's okay. I'm really, you know, I'm really at peace with that because I have the most beautiful son to show for it.
Mm. That is just such a powerful message. And I think it's so cool how that brings us right back around to where you said your purpose is driving you from. It's to find that strength to be able to be that example and be that mother and be able to move with your kid as he grows. And I just think that's so beautiful. Anybody who's listening, where could they go to find out more about what you do, find some of this information on your programs or your app? I know you have a ton out there.
Yeah. So follow me on Instagram is Simone De La Rue Official. Same for Facebook. All of my fitness is at Body by Simone. That's the Body by Simone app, which you can download and also follow on Instagram. Also Body by Simone, that's all of my team of trainers. And then any of my life coach work is, my website is Simone De La Rue, and I have a blog that comes out every Monday, and I give a lot of free tips and a lot of free advice on mental health and self-love and self-care.
So good. And I really, really encourage people to dive into your work and what you're doing. You're the living example of it. And I think that's a really powerful place to be, because some people can speak it, but not always live it. And you're truly doing that, and you're leading by example. So just thank you for the work that you have done and continue to do. And you're helping so many people. So thank you, Simone.
Thank you. That really means a lot. So thank you so much. And thank you for having me. This was lovely. I love chatting with you both.
And there we have it, yet another amazing guest on the Optimal Body Podcast. So now what we ask of you, if you loved any bit of that or resonated with it, go share it out, share it with a friend, share it on your social media, because you know there are more people out there that would resonate with it just the same. Also, subscribe, rate, review on your favorite podcast app so we know what you want to learn or other guests that you think we should bring on for you in the future. Keep tuning in to find your optimal body.